My brothers and sisters, just 3 years ago at this same time of year, I had a great principle demonstrated to me at the hands of the Lord in a very special way. The Portland, Oregon East Stake has been developing a dairy farm over the past half dozen years and more, and it's located on an island in the Columbia River. It's one of the largest single stake projects in the church. Now, this fact, coupled with the fact that we've had to develop that farm almost from scratch, has placed a heavy burden upon the people, both in time and in money needs. Now, because of the fact it was a new project, naturally we ran in the red in the first early going. But 1977 was scheduled to be our turnabout year. The final result seemed to depend upon the successful harvesting of about 75 acres of beautiful corn, which was to be chopped into silage to get us through the winter for feed. But unseasonably, it had rained almost every day during the month of September. And by the first day of October, our scheduled harvest date, I knew those fields had to be in trouble. You see, we have a very high water table on the island. And when we get too much rain, the whole thing turns to mud, so much so that we can't get our harvest equipment into the fields. And once so saturated, it takes about a month of dry weather to firm the field up again. As a matter of fact, in that low ground, in the wintertime, the whole field disappears under a sheet of water. Now, I visit the farm about once a week, and as a result, I keep a pair of rubber boots in my trunk. Well, I went to the farm that October 1st day. I pulled on those boots, and I went down to check the conditions. I didn't have to go very far. As I just got on the road leading into the corn, there was nothing but mud everywhere. My boots are about 18 inches high, and that mud as I stepped was coming near the top of those boots. I really don't know why I even continued walking, and I remember it was a dark, gray, overcast day. And I watched the raindrops spatter in the open puddles everywhere in the fields. Now, the farm crew told me that a few days earlier, they'd taken a chopper into the fields, and way down the road, some rose somewhere, they had lost it up to its belly in the mud. But as I walked, I noticed how fine that crop was, row after row, 10 to 14 feet high. Now, I'm an optimist, and I hardly ever get depressed, but I was feeling low that day because I knew how hard everybody had worked and what it meant to lose that crop. I eventually came to the spot where the chopper apparently had gone in, and sure enough, looking way down the row, there I saw it down to its axles in mud. For some reason, I decided to turn and walk down to the chopper. And I was splashing along in that mud with my head down, feeling bad. I was startled to hear a voice. I'm sure the voice came to me only in my mind. But it was a voice and an admonition that I had heard before. You see, it was the voice and the warning of President Kimball. And it said to me softly, "President, is anything too hard for the Lord?" Now, I've heard him say that before, and so have you, but I guess it didn't have the meaning it had for me that day. I soon reached the chopper. I smiled to myself as I walked, and I think I said tongue-in-cheek as I splashed about, "Yes, President, this mess, this has got to be too much, maybe even for the Lord." But as I neared the chopper, I was impressed to climb up on it, and I did so. My head was about 2 feet above that 75 acres of corn, and as I looked about, still in my discouragement, the voice came to me again, but this time in a more serious tone. It said, "President, is there anything too hard for the Lord?" And I became ashamed of my discouragement and my attitude. And rather than looking down in moments, I was looking up into the heavens, and then I heard myself begin audibly to talk to the Lord. And before I had finished my conversations with the Lord that day, I had committed that crop and the harvesting of it into the hands of the Lord, and I had done so by the power of the priesthood of God. Well, I climbed down from the chopper. I remember the tears were still streaming from my face. And as I walked out of the field, all of a sudden I realized what it was I had done. and I became concerned, yet I knew I had done it in faith. And I knew that there was a proper need, and I knew that it was a righteous request of the Lord. Because of the personal spiritual nature of that experience, I think I decided never to tell anybody. But the very next Sunday, I was sitting in one of our ward sacrament meetings, and at the tail end, I wasn't scheduled to speak. The bishop got up and he said something like this: "I believe that President DeHaan has had a very special experience, and he needs to share it with us." Well, I didn't want to, but I got up and I did, and I committed that congregation to join me in their faith. That spread through the stake like wildfire. We have great special people in our stake, and I heard later, weeks later, that a lot of the people went to their works and where they, the people they associated with during the week, and they said, "Hey, it may be Oregon and it may be October, but it's not going to rain. Go ahead and plan your picnics for the rest of this month." The day following my special experience in that cornfield, I got up. I looked out. The sun was out. It was the first sun we had seen in nearly 30 days. The day following that and the day following that sun, soon the temperature that was in the 50s and 60s was in the 70s, and then the high 70s. And every day for the next 3 weeks, the weathermen called for rain. We had overcast days, but never a drop ever fell. I recall about 3 weeks from my original experience, I flew to Seattle, about 200 miles to the north, on business. It rained hard in Seattle. And I remember as I got back on the plane to come home, I wanted to sit by the window so I could watch the weather. Well, it rained all the way, and I was concerned. All the way, that is, until we reached the banks of the Columbia River. There, the weather miraculously parted, and we had sun surrounding our little island. I remember the next morning, I cut from my newspaper a little weather map that showed that weather pattern ending at the banks of the Columbia. I stuck it up on my refrigerator to remind me to keep my faith. 3 weeks from my original experience, I went back into the fields. I put on those same boots. I went down, and I found the ground still soft but firming. Our wonderful farm crew was preparing to join with the members in the following Monday, weather permitting, going in and beginning the harvest. Now, with the loyal assistance, once again, of our members, we worked for the next 5 days and the next 5 nights. And by Saturday, we had all of that precious corn into our silage pits, safe at last. We had the feed we needed for the winter. And then that Saturday, we covered it with plastic tarps. And as we were finished, within an hour, the heavens seemed to open. And there commenced one of the heaviest and most prolonged downpours of rain that I can ever remember, and I've been in Oregon for a long time. I remember as I stood in the rain with something inside that I'll never be able to express to anybody adequately. I thought to myself, well, the Lord just saved it up until our spiritual commitment together had been fulfilled. Now you can say to me, "President, all that was circumstance." And I guess I'd have to understand that, but I want to bear you my witness that I know exactly what happened, and I know why it happened. And I also want to bear you my witness to this. Most of the blessings of the Lord I have found come in the second, not the first mile. The first mile seems to be doing what the Lord expects of us. But as we're able and willing to move beyond that in our faith and determination, if we are personally able because of our spiritual condition, yes, we may, if there is a need, harness the very powers of heaven. And finally, I bear you my solemn witness that I know there is nothing too hard for the Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.